EA announces new features at E3 in Star Wars The Old Republic. And a new Star Wars game is announced, guys. Star Wars 1313. All this and more on Star Wars Off the Record, coming up next.
Quest Network is proud to present Star Wars Off the Record.
And welcome back, everyone, to another great episode of Star Wars Off the Record, episode 12.5. I am your host, Eve Arwin. Today's record date is Monday, June 4th. And as always, I am joined by the one and only Lore Master himself, our resident lore awesome guy who knows everything about Star Wars, and Star Wars knows everything about him. Louis Olan!
Hey, thank you, Arwin.
Hey.
Hello, everyone in the chat room. Glad you all join us.
We have a chat room today.
Yes, we do.
Brand new for our 0.5 show. Totally new for us. And there's a reason why we're doing it with a chat room today. Because tomorrow is E3. And we're totally excited about all of that.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of an announcement today from EA.
No, can't wait.
I know.
Sorry.
Squee!
yeah. I mean, this was totally awesome. I mean, I had no idea that EA was gonna, you know, do a little announcement. I mean, EA basically, they went up there and they presented all their stuff for all the new games coming out, and I really didn't care about any of it with the exception of what's going on with Star Wars. Oh my god, I gotta find out.
come on.
Now today happens to be one of my days off, so after I was done doing some stuff around the house, I was logged into Tor and I was just, you know, dingling around with my new Jedi, but it's not the night. It's Lou, help me out.
Your consular?
Thank you. Why can't I remember consular?
I always associate consular with, you know, throwing rocks, throwing pebbles, boulders. Yeah, you know, that sort of thing.
I know. Sneaking up from behind and stabbing in the back. Playing my new consular. Got her up to level 12 so far. Been, you know, ulting myself around Keller's Void like you wouldn't believe. And so I'm dingling around with my console, and I'm thinking, like, all right, I got the E3 stream going up in the background, so I'm like trying to keep a careful ear out as to, you know, what's new, and I'm basically looking for, like, what are they going to announce before, in quotes, E3, for Elder Scrolls, for Dawn Guard. I'm trying to keep my ear out for that because that's basically what I'm expecting to come out of E3, and then all of a sudden I'm hearing, like, EA is coming up today. I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to be able to hear something. Maybe they'll do something for Star Wars. So I'm definitely keeping my ear open for that. I gave you a call earlier asking you if you had heard anything. And just as we're talking on the phone, right?
Yeah. Perfect timing.
Dr. Mizuka jumps up on the stage and he goes, "Hey guys, Star Wars is coming up. Listen up, Eve Arwin." And I'm like, "Oh, hold on, Lou, I gotta hang up the phone." And and Lou was like, what's that?
Yeah, I was actually listening to the live stream most of the morning when it first came live.
Lou was in the middle of talking. And he was saying something about the notes, and I was like, "Lou, shut up! They're doing Star Wars thing. Run to your TV right now! Run to your TV now!"
G4 TV, G4 TV.
Do it!
No,
do it.
No, Attack of the Show, Sarah Jean Underwood. Okay, that's nice, but nothing on Star Wars. Oh no, it's on it's on the site.
It's on the stream. Go to the stream. Go to the site.
You said go to the TV.
like a bunch of Star Wars nerds that we are.
Proudly so.
Indeed, I wear like a patch on my shoulder. So. Yeah, so they had a whole bunch of awesome stuff to show us. They basically gave us a little teaser as to what to expect, and I was definitely into what they had. But before we get into that, let's just mention our sponsors first for this this week. And as always, we have DoghouseSystems.com. DoghouseSystems.com, everyone, is a great computer gaming rig creators. They're going to throw together for you an awesome computer. All right, if you're a gamer, you should definitely check these guys out. DoghouseSystems.com. Plug in the code off the record to get double the memory when you piece your computer together. Also, they have some pretty awesome customer service, so definitely want to check them out. All right, you hear us talk about them on every show, and there's a reason for it. They're great. They're great at what they do. Also, we'd also like to thank Tweaked Audio for sponsoring the show today as well. If you are looking for brand new earbuds, headphones, maybe you're listening to our podcast on your iPhone or your Android, and you're not too happy with those headphones, head over to tweakedaudio.com. All right, they've got some awesome headphones over there. We have a code for you as well. It's the same code. All right, off the record. You plug that code in. All right, you're going to get 30% off their headphones plus free shipping, worldwide free shipping. Okay, so don't forget that code off the record when you go over there. They got great little earbuds. They start from I think it's like $19, and they've got regular standard ones. Also, they have ones for the cell phone, which range about, I think, around $34 as well. One with a microphone on it, which is about $37. That code is going to drop that price down for you to 30%, plus free shipping. So it's a great bargain. Definitely check out Tweaked Audio, and definitely check out Doghouse Systems. They're a great bunch of guys. Just signed Tweaked Audio today after checking out all their stuff, and we're very, very happy, you know, for them for picking up the show today as well. So Tweaked Audio and DoghouseSystems.com as well. Off the record, all one word, is the code you want to use for double the memory in Doghouse and 30% off plus free shipping on Tweaked Audio's headphones. Lou.
If Arwood.
Probably not the best commercials I've ever done in my life, but we're going to get away from that. And, and we're going to talk a little bit about what had been done today, or what was announced at E3. We have a little trailer for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's what we're going to do. This is how we're going to start things off. We're going to play the discussion that good old Dr. Mizuka has given us, his presentation at E3, and then we're going to start talking about some of the stuff that the brand new trailer gives for all the information. Now you can check out their new release information at swtor.com. Big splash screen comes across because they're shouting it loud and proud, and as well as they should, about all their new updates and whatnot. So lend an ear. Here comes the good doctor hitting the stage during E3.
Hey, everybody. With the Old Republic, we set out to deliver the most emotionally engaging MMO the world has ever seen, set in the rich universe of Star Wars from Lucasfilm. Over 1 million players logged in on day one, making it the biggest subscription MMO launch in history. Our fans have built a vibrant community that's already invested over 520 million hours in the game. That's insanely awesome. We're humbled by their enthusiasm, and we're committed to match that passion. Our goal is to provide a living service that's always on, We're adding new content, and we're refining the game at a rapid, unprecedented pace. Our first game update, Rise of the Rakghouls, went live just 30 days after launch. Then in the spring, we released one of the biggest free updates in MMO history, Legacy, with a ton of new gameplay and features like the Legacy system. So your family can leave its legacy in the Star Wars universe just like the Skywalkers. We also deployed our first live immersion event, the Rakghoul Plague, and we saw our community come together organically in ways we had never imagined. All of this and more in just 6 months. But we've only just begun. We're adding more PvP war zones, more challenging group and higher level content, including a new version of hardcore nightmare difficulty mode for our veterans, new companion characters to fight by your side, new playable species, enhanced features the fans have asked for, like group finder, rank PvP, character transfers, increased level caps for every class, and something we're really excited about, a new planet, Makeb, with storylines revolving around the shady and dangerous Hutt Cartel, allowing you to continue your own personal Star Wars saga. That's incredible value. The amount of new content and features we're delivering this year will set a new standard for a premium MMO service. There's never been a better time to join us. This July, everyone can play the game up to level 15 for free. Now, here's a quick sneak peek at what's coming soon in Star Wars: The Old Republic. Enjoy.
Okay, and we will enjoy. Best part about this whole thing is his speech that definitely sounds like a used car salesman. That's a vibrant community. This is for informational purposes only, guys. I mean, obviously, it was a poorly rehearsed speech and a poorly written one as well. Great information, though, that's coming out of it. I hate the fact that it comes across like he's trying to sell this a broken Bronco from the 80s. So, in any event, Lou, what do we want to attack first here? I love the level 15 free to play thing.
Yes, that is definitely a step up from the way they're progressing there. At first, the friends trial.
Hold on a second.
The weekend free pass.
Geek Fro in the chat room is saying he loves the quite a value quotes. That's quite a value. Exactly. Like, I was expecting that too. Like, but wait, there's more. You can play for free up to level 15 now.
But yes, that is definitely a welcome addition, another step up for that free pass, free trial. And definitely that's going to open up the game for a lot more people to try it out and give it a shot.
Yeah. It absolutely is. I know Liz has been, you know, eager to get into Tor, and she hasn't been able to because she's, you know, been worried about a couple of things, and most especially she's worried about, you know, the cost of it, and is it going to be, you know, worth the cost to actually buy into it? Will her computer even run it? And, you know, we were talking to her off air about that, and this, I told her, is one way that she can definitely, you know, try the game out, you know, play it. I mean, it's not out yet. It'll be out, you know, it'll be out soon. You know, you can play up to 15 for free. And I think, you know, we spoke about this on the show probably like 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. I know
yeah,
we said,
I think so. Mm-hmm.
We mentioned it last week, and I know we've spoken about it before, saying like, gee, wouldn't it be a great idea if they could just play the game for free up till about that level, like 15 or 16.
Right. Right, because, you know, as before we mentioned, they initially came out with the Friends Pass, and then I think a week or so later, they came out with the Weekend Free Trial, and then they finally just condensed everything together into one overall package. But yeah, and we did say that, you know, it would be wonderful if they actually just bumped it even more by allowing people, you know, potential customers to play even more levels. I even go as far as to say, heck, make it to the point where they can get their ship. You know, because, you know, if people haven't tried the game, yes, you're going to get your own ship.
Yeah.
That's your storyline because that defines your class. And I'm telling you, if I was a on the fence person, not wanting to try the game out because I'm a little scared, what have you, for whatever reason, and I got up to that point where like, oh yeah, I've got my ship. Oh, I can't play anymore. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Oh.
No.
It's like being given a book, and all of a sudden half the book is torn away from your hands. Like, ah, yep, sorry. Can't do it.
That's it. You're done. No more. Yeah, that would definitely, that would keep me in game. Especially right at that point, too, because right when you get, I mean, right when you get your ship, that's this game's version of player housing. I mean, that is just one of the coolest moments in the game. Although, we were, you know, Lou and I were talking the other day, hands down, I don't care if you're playing light side or dark side, the coolest moment in the game is when you're playing a Jedi and you're on Tython and you're running up to the Forge and you got the Star Wars Jedi music playing in the background, and here you are, you sit in front of the Forge and you put your lightsaber together for the first time. That is the coolest part in this game for the single player version. And it's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know we mentioned a lot, but you know, that is one of the quintessential defining moments in this game for the entire universe. You know, when you see a Jedi create their saber for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, they've moved on from beyond Padawan stage. They've passed their trials. You know, or they soon will be taking the trials, and you know, the Force has given them the knowledge and the ability to finally create the defining weapon for a Jedi. You know, your saber. What more defining moment than that in Star Wars can you get? You know?
When I was playing my my consular, I got it this time. I got it this time. When I was playing my I hate myself. I sound like such an idiot sometimes. I really do. Why do people even listen? When I was playing my consular, and the song for the consular is named Peace, and it's basically the Binary Sunset song on the Star Wars Episode 4 soundtrack. So that song plays just as your consular runs up the path to the Forge on Tython, and you're looking at the Forge, and it's, you know, it's all like, you know, it's a crumbly ruin, and you could just, man, you got the song in the background, and you feel, you know, you see that it's an old ruin, you know, you're on the ancient home of the Jedi, and it's just this awesome historical feeling. You feel like you're surrounded by, you know, the Jedi that have come before you, and here you are, you know, you're about to you know, do it and you know, cement your place in the galaxy as yet another Jedi in a long-standing history. And what an awesome feeling that was. I don't mind telling you, I had a little tear in my eye doing that. I don't care what that says about me. I did. All right, let's get away from that. The other thing, the new companion.
Yes,
this is great. A new HK companion. If you remember, what was it? Was it KOTOR or KOTOR 2?
Yeah, it's KOTOR.
KOTOR?
Mm-hmm.
HK-47, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, he was like the homicidal robot.
Homicidal assassin robot that you get in the very first Knights of the Republic game that came on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And forever made the word meatbag into a phrase and word that people know.
Could you please not call us meatbags? Oh, of course, sir. No problem.
And so, yeah, you're right. You know, it's confirmed. He's going to be out there, available as a companion. You know, get your very own assassin droid to probably kill anything in its path, which might include you one of these days.
Indeed. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Having now, it's very fitting that they chose it to be an assassin droid as well, because you know, those who remember the original Knights of the Old Republic know the HK units are just, you know, they're assassin droids. They're killing droids, and they may even kill their own master. And but their interacting with them is always hysterical, because they kind of look like a protocol droid. So the mix between their primary function, which is to kill everything, and then the speech protocol function, is just, it's absolutely hysterical. And to bring in this as a character, I think is spot on.
Right. I mean, it's like It's like seeing C-3PO with a homicidal twist on him. It's just amazing.
A lot of fun. I'm wondering how you're going to be able to earn that HK droid.
Right, and on the forums too, on the Tor site, people are wondering if that's going to be just the Sith Empire, those characters, or will also be available for the Republic players. So, as of now, they haven't said anything yet as to whether the HK-51 is going to be just faction restricted, or if he's going to be available for all the classes across the factions. So, nothing as of yet, but it's still a welcome companion. So,
yeah, good stuff. New planet to explore and quest on. Makeb.
Yes, Makeb.
Which is a HUD-controlled world where players will have their own story and saga expanded while delving more into the underbelly of the HUD cartels.
Indeed.
Yeah, I like that they're right off the bat. And they didn't release any details on any of this stuff. This is really just bullet points. But I really like that they're one of the first things that they're releasing, not even a year after the game's initial release, is a brand new planet.
Yeah, not even 6 months. Not even a half-year mark.
Well, we don't know exactly when they're pushing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. True. I mean, they said this year. So I'm thinking this is going to be like their main bullet points till year end at least. And I would think this is probably going to be towards the end. But I'm looking forward to that. I would think that they would have expanded on their planets already before releasing a new planet. Cuz there's a lot of room to you know, increase, you know, what's going on all these planets.
That's true. And you know what? They might have, but they haven't said anything yet.
And yeah. Very, you know, true.
They're giving us a new planet sometime soon this year. But who's to say when that planet comes out? Because essentially what's happening with Makeb, you know, the players will actually be expanding their storyline. So your class storyline is going to be expanded with this new planet. And it might be sending you to other planets as well. They may have added, you know, if people are playing the game, you know, there are lots of areas on these planets, lots of zones that have you going in one particular area of it, but the rest of it, you know, you pretty much just leave unexplored because it doesn't pertain to your class storyline or the world quests that are there. You don't have to go to that area, but it's there. It's present. So there's still a lot of areas that BioWare can just dump additional content and just plop it in there for you to take advantage of.
Yeah, and we saw that with the Rakul event.
Yes. A lot of people, you know, they'll bash the Hero Engine, but you know what? One of the best aspects that they've used the Hero Engine for is the fact that it allows BioWare to actually do that. It allows them to create put these spontaneous events on these worlds. So, you know, for those of you who don't like it, well, you know what? This is one of the great features for that particular engine.
Yeah.
Yes, it has issues. We all know that, but you know, besides that, we know they can fix it. Let them do it. But it also allows BioWare and the developers to come up with these spontaneous events to surprise us and just literally knock our socks off. Because the Rakul event, even though I missed it, I was really pissed that I did. But I saw a lot of footage of it on YouTube and hearing other players and the server talk about it. I was really mad, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, for their first event. All right, it went completely unannounced. It was a total surprise for everybody, and it was their first event. Let me tell you, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I had a good time with it. You know, in retrospect, I had a better time with it than I even thought I did at the time, and it was good. It was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the next one. And the fact that they're just making, you know, a brand new world to just jump onto, and I would think that this world is probably going to be geared toward end level. And if that's going to be the case, then that means even more content for those level 50 guys out there. More stuff for them to jump into. And if it's not going to be geared toward just end level, that's even better. Because that means that there's going to, well, hopefully, I'm just, you know, concepting all this stuff, but
right,
I would think it,
they just hold it's coming out. They haven't released any more specifics than the Macabre is a HUD controlled world and it's out there.
Right. If it's not a, you know, just an end level world, hopefully they got stuff on there for, you know, a little bit of something for everyone, but I would think it would be an end level controlled world.
I would hope, I would think so too, but I think seeing how people have asked for, I guess, many different levels to be available on different planets,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of like where you have with EverQuest, where you have different starter cities, different starting zones. Same thing with this planet. Maybe Macabre will allow, yes, it's going to give players who are at 50 additional content, additional chapters in a story. But also maybe give players who are still not 50, like from 1 to 49, an opportunity to explore it as well.
Well,
maybe
actually,
culminate in the post-50 stuff.
They did say, and there's another point down here that says that they're going to raise the level cap. You know what I mean? They're probably, the function of this world is probably for 50 plus.
True, but I think it'd also be nice for them to actually set aside parts of that planet as, you know, from 40 to 49, 30 to, you know, 40. That way everyone gets to participate in maybe additional quests for that level, appropriate to the level, and still explore that part of Macabre.
Yeah. How do you feel about them raising the level cap? To without an official expansion, they're just raising the level cap and including more content. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's a step that they have to take eventually. All MMOs do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you went on World of Warcraft pace, which is what every couple of years with them, or with EverQuest 2, you know, I think it was like every year and a half, EverQuest 2 came out with an expansion and raised the level cap. Yeah, I think it's an eventuality. Games evolve. So
right, but usually in order to get an extra, you know, 5 or 10 levels out of an MMO, you got to pay for an
right.
expansion. It's always part of like a large, you know, $60 expansion that comes with, you know, a brand new area to level up in and like a whole host of new features, which this update or these updates really don't shy too far away from. I mean, in an expansion you pay for, you always get like about, you know, 10 more levels, or the level cap gets raised, generally speaking. You get a new area to quest in, a new raid, more PvP stuff coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be coming out as just part of our subscription.
Yeah, that's what a lot of speculation is as well. People are wondering whether or not there's going to be an expansion announcement, which they haven't said yet, but they're alluding to it now with this, with E3 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, they said it's coming out this year, so who knows? Maybe a couple months down the road, you know, both doctors come out and say, oh, well, yeah, it's going to be a new expansion coming out.
Yeah.
You know, by December or January. Since December is going to mark their 1-year anniversary for Tor, they could very well do that. If it comes, though, as part of a regular game update, I mean, that's amazing. That'd be the first that any MMO I've ever played has done that without having players shell out additional money for an expansion pack, an official expansion pack.
Yeah, there's a new species coming out, the Cathar, as well. That's supposedly coming out.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So if you like Juhani from KOTOR 1, you know, now's your chance. You want to bite, claw, hiss.
Bite, claw, hiss.
One of those cat people or cough up a hairball. It's all up to you.
The first companion you get is as a trooper is a Cathar.
Yes. So now you get to play as one of them.
Yeah. Let's see. There's also the new raid as well that they're coming out with. Let me take a look at my notes here real quick because I wrote it down real fast. Let's see. Terror from Beyond.
That's going to be the new raid and a new PvP war zone as well.
Yes.
Ancient Hypergates. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. And what else we got?
Well, from what we gathered, just to elaborate more for folks who are curious, the new endgame operation, Terror from Beyond.
Terror from Beyond.
It kind of looked like an encounter from an alien species outside the Tor galaxy. Who knows? I mean, it's really brief at what they showed. I mean, other people in the forums are postulating maybe another species that you encounter, what have you, and it's a different take. The new PvP war zone, Ancient Hypergates. From what we gather at the scene there, from the video, it looks like players are fighting over some old hyperspace technology.
Yeah.
Quite possibly from the Infinite Empire. So, remember, folks, if you, from previous lore segments, what have you, the Rakata, were developing, they developed the hyperspace technology, okay? But then there were also other species that developed other pieces of technology, and they created hyperspace gates. So, who's to say maybe this is more efficient or maybe it's better? So maybe have it will somehow place into the lore where it's more efficient or much better. Because if players remember, there are lots and lots of hyperspace lanes that have been lost due to time. Because charts have been lost, things have changed in the galaxy, so who knows? Maybe this will allow the Republic or the Empire at this point in the timeline to further expand their side of the, their side into the galaxy.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Whole bunch of thoughts on this. All right. Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's just recap really quick. Okay, we're getting ourselves you can play for free up to level 15. That's coming out this summer. Okay. Space mission as well. Oh, yeah. There's a new space mission we forgot to mention, which is called Space Station Assault.
Read the notes. Come on.
That's coming out. The new ops, Terror from Beyond. Okay. The HK-51 companion assassin droid. New species, the Cathar. Raising the level cap, so you're going to get level 50 plus and also combat abilities. Makeb as a new planet and a new flashpoint. The ancient hypergates.
Right.
And the PvP war zone as well.
Right. And they've also said, Dr. Mizuka said, that they are going to add another difficulty level to flashpoint operations beyond Nightmare. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said that so that's to deliberately challenge the veteran players. They're adding another level of difficulty. So think about it. Normal, hard mode, nightmare. Now it's like, wow, where are we going from here?
Yeah, retarded hard.
You never go full now.
Never go full retard. I misspoke, actually. It's the PvP war zone. It's called Ancient Hypergates. That's the PvP, not a flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Awesome. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that space mission, too.
Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of fun with those space missions. They're a great break from the normal game. You get tired. Sometimes you get tired of just questing, and I find myself getting less tired of questing in this game because of all the cutscenes and all the dialogue role-playing choices, and am I going light side? Am I going dark side? And sometimes after a while, I love all that, but sometimes after a while, you get a little tired of it and you feel like, taking a break, but you still feel like playing the game. So like the space mission is great for that. I'm not into PvP, but I know PvP is great for that too. But I usually jump right into a space mission or, I'll dingle around a bit with the crafting. So, but I really, really end up in a space mission. So a brand new space mission for me is like perfect. Totally perfect. So I'm into that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping one of these days. I know, I make no bones of the fact that I love the X-Wing simulation games from the 90s. X-Wing, TIE Fighter, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, X-Wing Alliance. God, I love playing those games. And, being able to fly space missions again in Star Wars: The Republic with this new space mission, I would definitely like to also add, if possible, you can do the four-man heroics, two-man heroics. A lot of us who fly in space would also like to have that same type of ability with space missions. A two-man heroic space mission, a four-man heroic space mission. That would be awesome. Yeah, heck, an 8-man, 60-man operation.
I would love that.
For space.
I mean, it's
a full squadron. Can you imagine? That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. I mean, it's cool enough that I can go onto your spaceship and go flying off to another planet and start questing over there with you. But wouldn't it be great if we can, go on the bridge of your ship and just jump into a space mission, and you're manning the guns and I'm steering, or you're steering and you're shooting the blasters and I'm releasing the missiles, and or I've got some other kind of function inside that particular space mission, gathering stuff floating in space for some reason, or I don't know, scanning rocks.
which is possible. I mean, they've done that in the previous Star Wars simulation games, with especially X-Wing, the TIE Fighter series, where you actually had to not only defend yourself, but scan other ships because you were going after a particular target. All right, now I know I can't remember if it's TIE Fighter. Okay, you're on your TIE Fighter and you're on a patrol and you're scanning the shipping lanes, the traffic going to the planet that you're stationed. Okay, so not only do you have to fight off potential pirates, you're also scanning the transports and the shuttles and the freighters that are coming into the system because you're looking for Alliance fugitives. So yeah, I think that kind of element can be brought into this game, and I think it would add so much more depth, and if people like to fly, it would definitely reel them in and get them hooked. Give more incentive as to go back out there and fly in space, because that game element, that space element is there. And as Robin said, it's a great way to level. I mean, it's a nice way to level. It's a nice break if you're sick of the quest grind. Okay, if you don't want to go data crown hunting, what have you don't want to craft for a bit, hop in your spaceship, blow things up.
Absolutely. All right, we have one more announcement that we want to make, and that is Star Wars 13:13 has been announced.
Yes.
Somewhat. I don't want to say too much right now, because I'd rather just play the video for you. Okay, this comes off of GT.TV, which is on the Spike Network. GameTrailers.com as well. All right, so I'm going to play that for you right now.
For an amazing week of gaming that's ahead. Tonight, we start with a huge announcement that has had the internet buzzing all month long. What's next for Star Wars? Well, recently, LucasArts invited me up to their campus in San Francisco for a top-secret briefing on this massive new project. All right, I've made it here to Lucasfilm's campus in San Francisco, and they've summoned me here to announce a brand new Star Wars franchise.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Hey, Jeff, nice to meet you.
All right, so let's get right to it. What is this brand new Star Wars game?
So the game is called Star Wars 13:13, and it's about being a bounty hunter in the most dangerous place in the galaxy, 13:13.
13. Now, which bounty hunter are we going to be playing?
We're not ready to talk about who you're going to be playing and the story itself, but we can show you about the world and the game and talk a little bit about that and the collaboration with ILM.
It's the worst of the worst of the Star Wars galaxy brought together in one place. You've got crime, you've got gangs, you've got bounty hunters, you've got treachery, intrigue, all of these kind of more mature themes that we haven't really explored.
And it's from sort of a third-person perspective, yes, right? So you see your character, you see other characters.
Absolutely. Everything is third-person. Everything's always from sort of over the shoulder. So when it comes time to coming together
together a cinematic sequence or an action sequence, things come pretty naturally.
We want to make it feel like one sort of unified experience. There's not really a difference from the audience's perspective as to whether they're seeing something in a cutscene or whether they're playing with it interactively.
One of the things that's really, really important is capturing that face and the body at the same time. Mm-hmm. When you're just sitting in a chair, which is how things have been done a lot in the past, you're locking off a lot of that performance. And you can see the eye motions that are kind of moving on here, these things called saccades, which are these really rapid eye darts. As you're looking through a scene, your eyes are darting around. And if you're just sitting in a chair, you're not going to get that.
So same technology you're using in film. This is how you did, you know, yes. Mark Ruffalo for the Avengers. Same
exactly.
process?
Yep.
All right, I'm here with Pauly and Roger, and now we're going to talk about some of the lighting you guys are putting into the demo for Star Wars 1313. What are we seeing here?
This is a shot where the bad guys are sliding down a cable from one ship to the other, and we're seeing the giant portal that the ships are heading down.
We feel we've had some pretty decent success with real-time digital human rendering. The point of using this kind of a controlled environment is that once we get it right here, we can tune it so that it looks correct here, and then we can throw it into any environment and the characters still maintain consistency.
Well, thanks for the sneak peek, Dom. I've been lucky enough to see this demo, and I think it's going to be the talk of the show, and we are so excited that you guys are not just talking about it tonight. On Monday, you're going to be back with us live
yes.
at 10 o'clock Eastern to world premiere the first actual gameplay clips from 1313.
That's correct. I can't wait to show you.
All right, well, talk about it all weekend, and on Monday night, it's the world premiere of Star Wars 1313. Thanks, Dom.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, there you have it. So a little bit of a sneak peek there for Star Wars 1313. Okay, unfortunately, this episode is going to be released after they do the show. So hopefully, you had happened to have a chance to take a look at that GTTV on Spike at 10 p.m. on Monday, which is tonight. So what can be said about this? I mean, this is just like dripping with everything that a Star Wars fan, you know, really hasn't had a chance to get into, which is, you know, bounty hunter style, playing a game centered on that stuff. You don't get a whole lot of chance to see, you know, the seedy underbelly of the universe, and you know, now we're gonna see that. You know, you know a little bit from the Hutt cartel, you look a little into that world a little bit, but you never had anything that really just throws itself wholeheartedly into that underbelly, and this is the first look into it. So as a Star Wars fan, I really would like to see their direction, where they go with this, and what it looks like.
Definitely. When I first saw the trailer for this game, I hearkened immediately back to, if people remember, the original Dark Forces games from the 90s. Okay? The very first Lucas attempts at first-person shooters. Right? Okay. You played Kyle Katarn. Okay? And he was a freelance, you know, merc who did work, you know, at the time, I believe, he was also doing stuff for, he worked for the Alliance on the side. He had no love for the Empire. But, you know, it's one of the few games involved in the Star Wars universe that doesn't involve a Force user.
Okay? Right.
You know, you had the Dark Forces series, but eventually Kyle Katarn, you know, people know if they read the books, he has become a Force user. And then you have, Republic Commando, all right? You saw the Clone Wars from four Commandos, their point of view. And now we have 1313. Now you're playing a big, badass bounty hunter who's, you know, venturing to the underworld on Coruscant, and who knows what he's going to discover there.
Now, let me ask you a little bit of lore on this. Okay. Now, this takes place on Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
What part of the galaxy does this limit them to, and does it limit them at all, as far as the timeline?
it shouldn't limit them in the timeline at all. I mean, the entire galaxy at that point should be open to them, but I believe their primary focus is going to be on 1313 itself on Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess that's going to be, again, I'll just speculating, that could be the premier headquarters level for whatever criminal organization your character is going to be right. Either joined or overturned.
But the timeline to them is wide open. I mean, they can go as far back as you know, the Old Republic, or all the way up to when the movies take place.
I think it's going to be when the movies take place, because as Geek4 mentioned in the chat room, yes, the way it looks and the way it's structured, it's going to be within the time frame of the prequel movies.
Right. Now, Geek4 in the chat room is touching on something that I want to bring up as well. And I'm just gonna read his thing in the chat room. He says, "Don't know if you guys know, but 1313 also relates to Boba Fett in the time period between episodes 2 and 3. He went under the name CT1313 when he encountered another clone about his age." So they're asking. All right, first of all, the game itself is obviously called, you know, Star Wars 1313, which relates to Boba Fett. You're gonna play a bounty hunter. That was obviously the same type of person Boba Fett was. And then when asked, what kind of bounty hunter, which bounty hunter are you playing? They got very tight-lipped. And they said, we can't release that right now. So that in itself speaks to the importance of the character. This isn't just some random bounty hunter that we haven't met before. You know what I mean? They got very tight-lipped, and then they said, let's just, you know, we can't say it right now, but, you know, we will tell you in a little bit. You know, it's going to come out soon, so just, you know, hold your water, ladies. Hold your water.
Right, and it could very well be you are going to play Boba Fett. You know, because he is a bounty hunter. It's the right time frame from what they show in the movie. You know,
and the right references.
Right, and he is a bounty hunter. Okay. You know, for those who watch the Clone Wars series on Cartoon Network, you know, you see, you know, they've done episodes of Boba Fett. You know, after he's, you know, out in the world, out in the galaxy, sorry. You know, after Mace Windu kills Jango, you know, what's he do? When you see Boba Fett, what is it? He's actually in a gang, all right? And what are they? They're freelance mercenaries for hire, doing odd jobs here and there, okay? And hunting bounties. So there, again, I think it'd be, gosh, I really have to say, I think it is going to be him.
I mean, it's very close.
It all points to him, but you know what? We could be wrong. BioWare has pulled surprises on us before.
But this isn't BioWare.
Yeah.
This is LucasArts.
LucasArts, yeah, it's true. So they can do whatever they want.
Pretty much. So, I mean, this is going to be just, you know, I'm really excited about this, because it's going to be something new. It's something in Star Wars. You know, it's going to feel different. It already, you know, from what they were showing us, it looks amazing. I mean, the lighting in itself. I mean, the lighting in the game is what makes, you know, the graphics extremely intensive. And if you see the video from Game Trailers TV, the video itself shows you how, like, they constructed some of the lighting effects within the game. And it's just absolutely beautiful. Gorgeous stuff. So it looks sharp, really well polished, you know, cutting edge technology. They briefly mentioned, which I don't know if you caught, the same. Now, they're working very closely with Industrial Light and Magic, ILM, which is the same company that you know, does a tremendous amount of special effects in pretty much every movie ever made, coming out since the early 80s. But specifically and most notably, they're the ones that did the effects on Mark Ruffalo, the actor Mark Ruffalo, in the Avengers movie when he turns into the Hulk, which came out beautiful, and it was seamless. They're using that same process in this game in order to render their characters into the game. So they're having They're having actual characters, actual actors, you know, walking around and talking, and then they're rendering their body movements, their facial movements, the movements of their eyes, for Pete's sake.
Yep.
And then they're, you know, using the computer technology to put their matte painting, or not their matte painting, but their actual, you know, character build over that. And that's what they're working with. So it's high-tech stuff, state-of-the-art stuff, and it looks amazing.
It shows a lot of promise. I mean, if they really... I can't wait to see more stuff. I have more information that comes out on this game, because I think it will add a... maybe up the ante on the quality of these types of games that are coming out.
Yeah.
So...
Let's do this. Let's, for next week... let's try and put a little information out on next week's show, you know, about this game, the Star Wars 1313, and let's, because tonight, and actually 2 hours from now, is when the world premiere of this announcement is going to be on Spike. Hopefully, you know, the game trailer is going to come out. Hopefully, we'll be able to take that game trailer, and there will be enough audio in there to insert into next week's show, so we can, you know, talk about it a little bit. But even if not, we may, you know, we try and see if we can analyze the trailer and go into the announcement a little bit for next week, because this is great stuff.
Yes, it is. Gosh, I want to find out more on it now. Yeah,
I mean, 90% of the Star Wars universe is told from the perspective of the Jedi. It's the other, you know, 10% that are not so popular anymore and haven't really been delved into until the dark side content came out for Tor.
Right.
Which everyone is gravitated to because it's, you know, it's new. It's not something that a whole lot of people have had the chance to get into in the Star Wars universe. So when you have a chance to experience, you know, the Star Wars universe from the eyes of a bounty hunter, you got to jump on it. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. It's an opportunity to see something, to see a different side of the story.
Yeah. How do you not?
Yeah.
How do you not? All right, Lou, I think that pretty much covers it for today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a 0.5.
That's a 0.5 show. We did have patch notes that came out as of June 1st. I guess, real quick, Lou, is there anything on here that's, like, extremely notable?
Yes. One of them, the first one. It corrected an issue that could prevent players from receiving mission credit upon defeating SOA. Yeah, after doing that and not getting credit, defeating that, yes, I definitely want that to be known.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. All right. And this is coming from patch 1.2.5, just so you know, which, like I said, came out June 1st.
Yep. Right. So head over to the Tor site if you want the full list. They have quite a bit. A lot of it were just you know, some class quest tweaks and fixes, some UI improvements, and so on. But yeah, one of the big things that did stand out was, yeah, players who defeat SOA now get mission credit.
Right.
So that's big.
All right. Other than that, guys, I mean, the patches out there, the patch notes are up on swtor.com. You can check it out. There's really not a whole lot in there that's too notable. I mean, you got level 50 PvP missions now grant 100 warzone accommodations and 300 warzone accommodations for weekly missions. First strike players who abandon this mission after game update 1.2 can now speak to T9M6 on the Imperial fleet to regain it. That's basically it. So nothing huge, but you may want to double check. It was a quick patch, too. You probably downloaded it and didn't even know about it. All right. Great. Well, as always, we'd like to thank everyone for listening today. Thank you for choosing Star Wars The Old Republic as your Tor podcasts, or just one of the Tor podcasts you like to listen to. We appreciate you downloading us and listening. Don't forget, we have Minecraft Off the Record. That is that comes out live Sundays at 7 p.m. Elder Scrolls Off the Record is also recorded live Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Diablo Off the Record, which is recorded live as well, Fridays at 7 p.m. We have a brand new host on there, Kethis. Dave is the brand new first chair of that show, and he did a beautiful job last episode. As well as Liz, and Keth did a great job too. I want to, if I could just take a few seconds out to say, regarding that show, for those of you that you know who are listening now and have listened to Diablo Off the Record, you know that I used to be the first chair host of that show. Things got really crazy for me doing all these different podcasts that we do. And I approached Joe and I said, it's a little too much and I got to step away. And it was my choice to step away from the Diablo show. I asked Dave if he could take the show on for me. And he said he would be honored to. And then I told him, it's your baby. You know, go ahead and do what you got to do, and you're going to do it well. He chose his friend, Keth, who came on the show to replace that third seat. So Dave became the first chair, Liz moved up to the second chair, and then Keth came on for a color commentary. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that the show that they brought out is by far and away the single best show that has been recorded in that series so far. And I think the best thing that could have happened to that show is me leaving and Keth coming in, because he has a tremendous amount of knowledge about that game, more so than I could ever bring to the table. So the information is absolutely top-notch. The chemistry between the three of these hosts is absolutely phenomenal. And that was only the first show together. It takes a while to build up that chemistry, and they came out of the gate real strong and hit the ground running. And I just want to say I'm really proud of Dave and Liz, and Keth is not going to let me down. And you guys did an amazing show. And I'm really proud of you guys. And I'm really a huge fan of what you guys are doing. So keep going out there and keep doing what you do, because it's amazing. And you're only going to bring awesomeness to the Diablo fans out there. So give it a listen to. Diablo Off the Record, Fridays, 7 p.m. live. All right, guys. Radio surveys. Pretty important for our shows, for our network. We have a Star Wars contest regarding these radio surveys. Today is the last day. However, this is kind of Fred's baby, and I want Fred to be here for when we announce the winner. So we're going to give you guys one more week. So June 11th is going to be the day that we announce the winner for the Star Wars Off the Record Game Time Card Radio Survey Mention Contest. So let's talk a little bit about the radio surveys, Lou.
All right, folks. With the radio surveys, it takes very little time, just a few minutes, and it does help us a lot here at the network, because it allows you, the listener, to actually give us direct feedback. And by direct feedback, the survey allows you to tell us what you like, what you don't like. You can delve into specifics. I believe there's comment columns in there as well, so you can actually say, well, I don't like this. Well, here's what I think you could do better, or what can be taken away, what have you. And it's so informative. It gives us a much clearer representation of what you like to hear from us. You know, what you like in the style, the direction of the shows. And, it helps us build a better network, because it allows you to tell us, hey, these are great features, these are not so great features, or we really like what you did here, this episode, and I think you should build on it. And, it gives us a chance to build a better product for you, to put out a better show across all our network, across all our programs.
Without a doubt. In conjunction with that, okay, the contest is this. All right, if you do a radio survey, send us an email at StarWarsOffTheRecord@gmail.com. Let us know you filled out the survey, okay, and that automatically enters you into the Game Time Card contest. All right, it's a 60-day time card, and you get it for filling out the radio survey and emailing us and letting us know that you filled it out. All right, now, like I said, this is kind of Fred's baby. We were going to announce the winner today, but I'd like Fred to be here for it, just so he can see the completion of this, and hopefully it'd be really great if our winner is in our chat room next week. So for those of you out there who have filled out the survey, come join us on the chat room next week. And it'd be great if we can get the winner in there as well. So we haven't picked the winner yet. It's going to be picked live. You'll see it happen in the live stream. And it'll be a great live moment for all of us. Also, don't worry. It's not going to be the last contest that we run on this show either. We're going to have more. And I'm going to be working with Fred this week to come up with a brand new way of bringing you a 60-day time card. Let's see. What am I missing, Lou? I feel like I'm missing something else. Don't forget about our sponsors, DoghouseSystems.com and TweakedAudio as well.com. Hang out with those guys. Off the Record is going to be the product code that you want to use to get yourself some nice stuff. All right, it's going to be for Doghouse Systems. You use the code Off the Record, you're going to end up getting double the RAM for free off of one of their gaming computers. And for Tweaked Audio, you're going to get 30% off and free shipping available worldwide. Free shipping worldwide using the code Off the Record at Tweaked Audio. How to reach us? Lou, you want to take care of this for me?
Sure. How to reach us? You can reach us at our website, www.starwarsofftherecord.com. Or, if you want to reach any of our other programs, go to our portal site at www.questgamingnetwork.com. The live stream, if you want to get in the chat room, see what Varwin and Joe are doing on their notes, all the scribbles and such, go to www.livestream.com/thequestshow. Hey, send us an email, especially if you're interested in the contest. Email's at starwarsofftherecord@gmail.com. If Twitter's your thing, hey, the show can be reached at StarWarsOTR. You want to tweet Evarwin? You can reach at Evarwin, EVARWYN. If you want to send me a tweet, I can be reached at GamerGuy11B, GamerGuy11B. If you want to tweet Fred, he is at Gorthinalore, at GORTHYNOLLUR. And Rob, who's not here with us tonight.
No, because he's
married.
He's still enjoying himself. He's out there. He's enjoying himself.
Rob can reach that Bauertech at BAUERTECH.
All right. Now, retweet mentions. Guys, I did not forget about you. Okay. I'd like to bunch up the 5-star reviews on iTunes and the retweet mentions. I like to take them and put them all into our main show. All right. So I didn't forget about you. I see that you retweeted our main show. I see that you retweeted this 0.5 show. Thank you very much. You guys are going to get your mentions next week. Stay tuned because that's coming as well. Don't forget to subscribe to all of our shows. It helps us out tremendously. Subscribing on iTunes, one of the biggest things that you can do for this show, and we always forget to tell you, and we always mean to tell you, and we never tell you, please subscribe to our show, and 5-star reviews help a lot as well. There's a lot of things you can do to help us out. We do this for free. We do it for you. We do it because we're nerds, and we do it because we can't shut up. So please subscribe, sub up, and 5-star reviews are awesome too. We love it. Love it. Star Wars Off the Record is a Quest Gaming Network production in association with Middle Earth Network, probably the best guys we have ever had the pleasure of working with. Middle Earth Network.
Yes, and geeking out with.
Yes. Great stuff. These guys are awesome stuff. We can't just shout them out enough. They're great guys. We love them. So hang out at Middle Earth Network. Hang out with us at questgamingnetwork.com as well, and get yourself involved in the Save the Shire campaign. It's been a while since we've mentioned it. Go to savetheshire.com. All right, figure out there's a big story going on with the Soul's End company and them trying to trademark the Shire. They're really bullying a lot of small business out there. I wish we had the time to go into it further, but Save the Shire campaign, guys. Go to savetheshire.com. and check it out. It's a heartbreaking story. What the Soul Sense company is actually trying to do with Professor Tolkien's master work, and the name of it, and it's god awful. The trademarking thing that they're trying to do is just it's trademark rape is what it is. All right, guys, thank you very much for listening. I am Eve Arwin. May the Force be with you. Take care and be safe.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. All you out there, take care of yourselves. See you all next week. I openly admit that I had to watch that movie at least 3 times to get the full impact. I was like, what the hell just happened?
What just happened in my head, bro?
Stop messing with me. Just tell me what happened. Come on. It's so not cool. Oh, booth babes.
Let's see what the
booth, booth women. Women, sorry. Yo mama's so fat. When she backs up, she goes beep, 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 beep. Nice one, 80 Toast. That was good.
What did I say? Your mama's so big. My God said, let there be light. Wow. Your mama's so big, when God said, let there be light, he asked her to move. Good job, 80 Toast. Good job.